morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to the one church in the Sunday in the liturgical year that has a very honest name. If you know from the Anglican or Episcopal tradition, do you know what today is called? Low Sunday. And it's called Low Sunday for a couple reasons. One, it's usually the least attended service of the year because most people are worn out from all the festivities of Easter, so pat yourself on the back for being here. But it's also called Low Sunday to speak to a theological truth that probably all of us have found to be true. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your lowest lows come right at the heels of your highest highs? You're on a mountaintop experience and you think it's wonderful, but like Peter learned at the Mount of Transfiguration, no matter how great the vista at the mountain, we always have to leave the mountain. And so it's to balance out. And so today is Low Sunday, and I am glad you are here. Just a couple announcements. Several weeks ago I made reference, but I didn't want to pass it out in Easter, about a study I read about people talking too much and conversation inequity, and several asked about the articles. I brought those articles. I thought it'd be poor taste to give them out at Easter. So if you're interested to have an article about why people talk so much, I'll give it to you at the end. Any other announcements before prayer requests? Doing well, Webb, on all the animals and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I meant to say something last week, because it's stuffed animal month, but remember that the stuffed animals go in the shoebox. So don't bring stuffed animals out of this big, because that's the only thing that's going to get in the shoebox.
I never thought about that. For those of you who don't know, we stuffed Christmas boxes, which are the size of a shoebox, to send. And this year we have followed the suggestion, because it really will increase how many we can do, of bringing in items. But I didn't think that you're not actively filling a box, so you may forget the restrictions. So don't bring large stuffed animals. They go in a shoebox. So that's a great reminder. Any other announcements? A couple prayer requests. I have a couple praises. I want to lift up that today is the 46th. Wedding anniversary of Craig and Hazel Stevens. So we celebrate their anniversary. It's also the birthday of Gwen Miller. And we want to keep Gwen in our thoughts and have good thoughts. Let me use that as a segue to also lift up that unfortunately Gwen's back in the hospital and we just need to keep her in our prayers. And Patty and all in our prayers, but let's just pray for Quinn. Any other items for prayer, praise or concern? Agnes.
Linda Muldrow is going to have colon surgery on the 29th. And Judy Wimmer is having a lot of trouble with her leg, and that's why she isn't here.
Let's keep Judy Wimmer with her leg and Linda Muldrow, and that was on the 29th? On the 29th.
In Charlotte.
In Charlotte. Okay. We'll keep them in our prayers. Any others? Carol.
Lucy White and Betty Draper both are in rehab at the center.
Betty Draper and Lucy White. Temporary stays intended?
Yeah, I think so.
Lucy White and Betty Drinker.
Betty Drinker is 91.
Okay.
She's in the hospital.
All right. We'll keep her in prayer. Karen?
My mom's having an ass surgery on Wednesday, so we can just keep her in prayer.
Let's keep Darby in prayer this Wednesday. She's having eye surgery. All right. Martha?
Wayne's having some surgery on Friday on his back.
Wayne Williams? We'll keep Wayne Williams in prayer, surgery Friday. You know what time, brother? Okay, let me know when you do. Any other items for prayer? Robert?
We want to keep Bella in prayer.
Let's keep Heather in our prayers. She was here last week, and she had about 5 good days, but it went south first part of the week, so she's probably will be away for 2 or 3 months or so. So let's keep Heather in our prayers as well. Mm-hmm. And Robert and family. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you for this beautiful day. Just thank you for all the blessings that we have to be alive and be able just to enjoy a new day is a gift. May we never take for granted that being given one new day is always enough for us to be joyous and happy for that day. Yesterday is only a memory, and tomorrow may never be, but we have today. And we will thank you, we will praise you, and we will lift high your name, whether it's a good day or a not so good day. It's a day that you've given us, and may we find joy in each day. We thank you for friends that prompt us to see the good in life, or church family that uphold us and keep us encouraged, and for your Spirit that has very unique ways just to remind us of the goodness of life. May we find something to make us joyful and grateful today. We thank you that we can gather in the comfort of this room to be strengthened by your presence, encouraged by your promise to be here with us as we gather in your name. And as we gather in the name, we lift up these items for prayer. We pray that you be with Judy, just continue to strengthen her, be with others that are recovering or having mobility issues. We pray that you'll bless them all. Be with Lucy and Betty as they are in hopefully a short-term stay at a rehab facility. Be with those that are having upcoming surgeries. We think of Linda on the 29th and Darby this Wednesday, Wayne this coming Friday. We pray even now that you'll prepare their bodies for a successful procedure. And we just pray the recovery will go well. We pray that you would be with those that we are perplexed by. Those that seem to be doing well and then the bottom seems to drop, and where our hearts and our tears are shed for them. It's no sense of judgment or condemnation, it's rather one of sadness. We are so helpless at times, O Lord, but we are never impotent, for we can always come to the all-powerful one and ask him, ask you, in your time and in your way, to work healing, to work health. And we do pray in particular for Gwen and for Heather. We pray that your Spirit would direct the right people, the right treatments, whether medication or different therapies, bring the right help to them. Lord, we're all at different points of the path, limping along with the different difficulties we have. So may we, as one body, ask for your strengthening for the entire body, and rejoice when those rejoice, cry when those who cry, and together look to you as the only source of strength we have. And we thank you for that, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. Look with me at the beginning of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy,
blot out our transgressions,
wash us thoroughly from our iniquity,
and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you look with me to the interior, we'll use Psalm 148 as we... Then we'll stand and sing one of my favorite hymns, hymn 506. Let us call each to worship. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all you angels of his.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempestuous wind doing his will.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princesses and all rulers of the world,
young men and maidens, old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted, his splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, a people who are near him. Hallelujah.
Christ alone, by your grace, God, be as my wife, Mary, my soul. First reading comes from Acts 5, 29 through 42. People and the apostles answered the high priest and the council, and we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. They said to them, "Men of Israel, take care of what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claimed to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. But him, Judas the Galilean, after him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, you keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan is this, or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from the house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
reflected in our daily work and conversation. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, eternally transferred us through the work of Christ from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, where only your Son is our focus. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading comes from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the great mercy he has caused us to be born again to the living hope to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved for various trials, so that the test of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. to our only hope, the source of all good, the only worthy object of our affection and worship, we give you thanks, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and the places, and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. They say practice makes perfect.
It's perfect practice.
And sometimes not even perfect practice makes perfect. Sometimes, in some ways, we can do something over and over and over again, and we tend to get worse and worse at it. I've reflected on this a great deal, and while I'm not usually very biographical or autobiographical in my sermons, because I don't think it's a place to be, sometimes it's easier to, if it's a negative trait, to point to yourself than to point to others. But I hope in my expressing something that I have found more and more difficult as time has gone by, maybe you'll relate with me. And it's easier for me to talk about me than you. And one of the things that I've gotten worse with, and it's not for lack of practice, I've had multitudes of practice, but it seems like when it comes to grieving, I'm not as good at it as I used to be. My grandfather, who was probably my closest friend, the first person that I really thought got me, I share his name, and he was, I can't overestimate his importance. He died when I was 14. And it was tough. It tore at my heart. But I got through it. And then other grandparents, and then other people that have passed. And it looks like the more I say goodbye to people I love, the sorrier I am at doing it. I don't seem to be getting better at it with practice. It seems to gnaw at my soul and my fabric even more. It hit the fan when my father passed. And not long before that, because the way I do ministry, I don't bury parishioners. I have to officiate at the funeral of friends and men that I look to as second dads and women that nurtured and sometimes corrected me. And it looks like, and I not only grieved, I went through a period where I was really uncertain of my own thinking back in January of 2018. And I don't know if I'm beyond it yet. Because I would have thought, in my arrogance, that since I grieved before, and since I do this stuff professionally, and have done 450 to 500 funerals, I really thought I would have handled it better than I did. And somehow, instead of getting better with grieving, I'm going to confess, it's almost getting harder and harder. It's almost going the wrong way. Now, you might think this is because I'm less trusting of God. I don't think that's too simple of an answer. It might be that I've just gotten less mature. Now, you may be right on that, but that's not what it would explain that. And it's definitely not that I'm fearful of death. But I think where I am coming to an answer is that what I truly grieve is not the particular loss of any particular person, but the accumulation of all the losses. The word picture that helps me is thinking of each loss of someone I cared for is like removing a piece of furniture from the house. And the accumulation of that time after time is you're sitting in an empty home that used to be full. And each new loss is just another reminder that nothing good lasts forever. The change comes and it hurts. And it's a real world. I agree, and I like him even better, since what he did yesterday changed the words of this wonderful song. I agree with a country singer that wrote and sang a song back about 4 years ago. I agree that I wish grandpas never died. And if you don't know that song, which is entitled that, I wish grandpas never died, I would encourage you to listen to it this afternoon. And in this song, Riley sings about, and I counted them yesterday, he sings about 23 things. Some he repeats more than once. But he lists 23 things that he wishes would never die. I wish grandpas never died. I wish grandmas never died. I wish moms and dads and children and best friends and family. I wish a lot of things. I wish baseball teams could keep their same name. I wish buildings and landscapes that I've grown to appreciate would stay the way they are. Truth is, nothing stays the same. And you're going, Tom, this is one of the most uplifting sermons you've ever preached. I'm being real. Because to just give pep talks, I can point you to preachers that would do that. But we have to be real before we look to the gospel. And what is real is things change. And that's why I make grieving hurts. Because it's not like getting a college degree and when you're done with that. You grieve and you sit there and you know this coming week you're going to read someone else's obituary. This week something else is going to change. This week something else that you wish you could, like Peter, put a tabernacle around and keep it the way it is. is going to change. Probably one of my favorite writers knew this more than anyone, Ernest Hemingway. And he, in the midst of it, said this is a swell world, but he was honest enough to know, as he was very meticulous, and one of the many discarded endings to his wonderful Farewell to Arms that he wrote at the end of it. That is all there is to the story. Catherine died, and you will die, and I will die, and that is all I can promise you for sure. But brothers and sisters, there's a problem with Ernest Hemingway. And as much as I like Riley Green, there's a problem with that song. Because it outlines correctly the human condition. It does a good job on what the prognosis of living in this broken and torn world is, but it gives absolutely nothing to offer as a cure or healing or hope. So let me offer that. My sermon, I hope, will be a part two or an answer to Riley Green's song. And that answer is that wishes won't cut it. Wishes cannot give you the strength and the security and the joy you need to endure all the accumulated losses. Wishing life to be better won't provide the stability and the strength. As Edith Stein said about Kansas, there's no there there. And there's no there there in just having wishes. But brothers and sisters, based on the message of last week, which we are still in, this is the second Sunday of Easter. Based on the message of last week, we're not just stuck with wishes. We have, as what Peter says, a lively hope. A lively hope. And our lively hope is Jesus Christ. It doesn't take away the changes. It doesn't take away all the stuff that we lose and the accumulated losses. But like he said to the Pharisees, that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. What the truth sets us free from is looking to all these temporal things that will be lost as our ultimate source of joy and hope. If I've staked my claim for joy this year that the stock market is going to continue to do well, I'm on some real thin ice. If my reason for happiness is everything's going well in my family now and we're smooth sailing now, if that's what I'm banking on, I'm set up for a fall. If I got a good report from the doctor and I'm just confident I'm going to be healthy through the rest of the year, that wish is potentially destructive to my soul. But the truth that sets us free from all of this is that in the midst of it all, I have an anchor that holds a living hope. And look how Peter describes this, if you'll look with me in 1 Peter. He describes this living hope. And he says four things I'd like to point out, which is far stronger than a wish. Our living hope, Jesus Christ, is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, we see in verse 4. It's imperishable. It won't decay. It's not going to rot. It's undefiled. It's never weakened. And unfading is the Greek word that we get the word perennial. My dear wife likes to buy plants, and I like to dig holes to put those plants in. And it does look nice. But She's convinced me that digging holes to put plants in does add to the value. But where I'm not convinced is if I'm going to spend my money, it's going to be a perennial. I'm not going to buy something that I know is not going to last. And in the same way, I'm not going to stake my life and my peace and my serenity on something that I know is not going to last. If you're still holding on to the fact that your value in life is you're the best looking man or woman in high school, you're long beyond that. And if that's the first thought you've had of that, I'm grateful that I get to inform you. That's a fading wish. And we laugh about it, but I know people. And it's a sad situation that when they think of the best years, their best time, when things were the greatest, it's behind them. Let me give you something far stronger than that. You've got a living hope that's perennial. So the future is bright. Second thing we see is it's kept and guarded in verse 5. It can't go away. Our faith cannot go away. Jesus is not going to one day say, well, I've given you enough time. You've not measured up. I'm done. And I want to remind you, we always have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Who is writing this passage? Peter. What did Peter do at Jesus' most crucial time? He denied him 3 times. So the one that denied Jesus 3 times is absolutely convinced that his well-being is not because, well, I wish I could be a better Christian. It's because I'm kept by a living hope that's solid. And I'm not going anywhere. The one who put his seal on me is not going to let me go. So on those days where I want to go, on those days where I want to chuck it all and run, I cannot beat myself up so much because I know my living hopes put his mark on me. And when you feel like it's all done, you've got a loving Father who gave his Son to beat every enemy. He keeps and guards you. Third thing we see about our living hope is in verse 6. And it admits, and that's why I love Christianity, it's not Pollyannic. It understands the first part of the sermon. Life is tough. Verse 6. Though through the grieving by various trials or accumulated losses, we have the hope in the midst of our failed wishes that it will result in praise, glory, and honor. You know this anecdotally. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know most of your stories. Most of you have had a time where you were fired from a job or laid off and you thought it was the end of the world and you looked back and thought, thank God. Most of you have had things end and you thought, oh, I can't go on beyond that. And you look back and think, thank you, Lord, for taking that cancer away. We know that all things work together and it will result in praise, glory, and honor. And it leads finally to verse 9. Therefore, we rejoice with joy. Well, let me ask you a question if you think about that logically. How do you rejoice without joy? What does that mean to rejoice with joy? Well, it's a redundancy here that points back to what Paul says in Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13, where he says, I have learned in every state to be content. I've learned when I have nothing to be content and when I've had everything. I've learned in gain to be content. I've learned in loss to be content. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what it means to have this rejoicing with joy is we know that there's a difference between joy and happiness. Christianity doesn't call us to be happy when bad things happen. You're not spiritual if you're happy in the midst of tragedy. You're out of touch. You have a callous Christianity that isn't reflective of Jesus who stood in the grave and wept. If you're happy in the midst of accumulated loss or tragedy, it doesn't mean you're spiritual. It means that you're not looking at life with the eyes of Christ. We look and we're moved with compassion. We cry and we weep with one another and we walk a very difficult path. But we understand that our happiness is not our security. Our joy is our security. And it was given by Jesus Christ. And in the midst of difficulties, it stands. See, at the end when it says, at the end of this passage, the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our souls is that living hope of knowing the one who isn't going away is holding me. I'd like to close the message by reading from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And this is the answer. Of the difficulties that we outlined, and I wish Grandpa's didn't die, and Hemingway's decree, and the pain that you and I had, here's our solid hope, beginning at the end of verse 5 of Hebrews 13. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can be done to me. This is our solid hope. Trade your wishes for a solid hope, and you'll have joy in each situation. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to give you thanks and praise. Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation and transforming it to show your glory through resurrection. With your touch, you formed us from the dust of the earth. You raised your people from slavery in Egypt. You bound them to you through your covenant on Sinai. And you made yourself known to them in exile in the promised land. In the cross of Jesus, you take into yourself the scars of our sin. And in his resurrected body, you invite us to touch the wounds of your love. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Forgiving God, your son's disciples cowered behind locked doors, and yet in him you visited them on the evening of resurrection and breathed on them the spirit of peace. Breathe that Holy Spirit upon us now, that your church may know the power of your forgiveness, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, blessed the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Lord and God, intimate Savior of our lives and cosmic ruler of the universe, in Jesus you are the substance of things hoped for and the knowledge of things unseen. Visit any who struggle under the shadow of doubt. Minister among all who suffer beneath the claims of oppressive rule. Resurrect your children, your church, and your earth. Bless those who have not seen and yet believe, and shape your wounded body, the church, to let the world see you through its scars. Lift every voice to sing your Easter glory until the day when all stand before your throne in eternal communion with one another and with you, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As the first disciples, life is a roller coaster ride. Things get better, and then they tend to get worse, and they get better, and we live by faith. They saw their Savior die on Good Friday. They had the joy on Easter Sunday to see that he was resurrected. And they learned 40 days later he was gone again. But he said, "It was good that I go, for if I don't go, I'm not going to send my spirit. But upon going, I'll send my spirit that will be with you forever. And I'll give you my word. And I'll give you my sacraments. That I will be there." It'd be nice if we could see him. But we're called to live by faith. And his promise is stronger and more secure than my vision or my sight. So I take him at his word that in the midst of all difficulties and enemies, evil and darkness, I will prepare a table before you. And I will be with you always. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive him. He's present here with you in your difficulty. And he'll be here to offer prayer. As James tells the people in James 5, you also can be anointed with oil. And it says in James, if you're sick, and the Greek word there is not just physical sickness. It really means if you're just sick and tired, or sick and tired of being sick and tired. If you are just in need of refreshment from the Spirit, I would invite you to receive the body and blood of Christ, spend time here praying, and then Andy will be up front this week to offer prayer or anointing for you. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Our gracious God, we thank you for your absolute and real presence in our lives. And we thank you that when we leave here today, we are leaving our gathering together until we meet again. But we take the name of Christ with us. We take your Spirit with us. As the psalmist would say, wherever we go, from the most pleasant to the most hellacious, from the closest to the furthest away, you are with us. We don't wish for that. We know it. For your word declares it. And we take you at your word. And that is our lively, living hope. And we are eternally grateful. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn together. Thanks be to God.